This morning we're going to turn to two passages of Scripture. First, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and then we'll turn back just a little bit to Romans chapter number 12. We'll start in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to read several verses there in that chapter, and that'll lay the foundation. Then we'll go over to Romans chapter number 12, and we'll read a verse of Scripture there, and then we'll get into the message this morning. The message, we've been in a series on mercy. And we want to consider mercy and that which we did not deserve. And we're thankful for the Lord's mercy and what He's done for us. And we certainly look forward to seeing how it applies to today in involvement and in serving. And I'm glad that our church is a picture of a church family. And if you're looking for a church, we're not just a church, we're a church family. And we love one another. We don't always agree with one another. But we love one another, and we know that what we have in common is our common salvation, our common faith, and so I'm thankful for that. But this morning, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and I'm again reading with verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 10, beginning with verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Talking about this earthly house, this tabernacle, this body that we have. He says, for we know, and if you're saved, you know, that if this earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. We have another tabernacle that we're going to move into. Verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, there's a lot there that I don't have time for. But we know that as long as we are here in this body, we are not with the Lord. How do we know that? Because we're walking by faith because of what God told us. Not by sight. Well, I've never seen heaven. I haven't either, but I know it's real. Why is it real? Because the Bible tells me it is. So you got a lot of faith in that. You got to have a lot of faith and not have faith in that. Because if you don't have faith in God, you have faith in something else. So that's what he's telling us. In verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, I'll mention this in just a moment, but being accepted of Him is not talking about accepted into His family, accepted for forgiveness, accepted by salvation. Christ took care of that on Calvary. And if you put your faith and trust in what Christ has done, you have been accepted. But there's a foundation there. There's an important principle there. We're confident. I'm willing, rather, if I be absent from this body means I'm going to be with my Lord. Let's put it like this in verse 9. In the meantime, though, we're not there yet. We're going to be there. How many of you are saved this morning? Okay? The day is coming when this old body is going to be, it's done. And so we shouldn't despair in that, because once this body is done, we're with the Lord. Now, if He calls us all home and the rapture takes place, we're leaving all this behind anyway. In the meantime, though, wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. So I want to labor, not to be accepted. Because I have been accepted, I want to labor that while I'm here in this body, it pleases Him. Then, say, what about the part where present or absent? That's where verse 10 comes in. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The Bible tells us there is a judgment seat of Christ. Don't confuse this with the great white throne of judgment, that all those who are unsaved, all those who reject the Christ, will appear before one day. But the judgment seat of Christ is for the Christian, it's for the believer, it's for the child of God. And the Scripture tells us that we labor not to be accepted, but because we have been accepted. We labor so that what I do now in this body, this earthly tabernacle, will please Him on this side of eternity. Are you with me? But also, what I do now will please Him on that side. Because the day is coming, we'll stand before that judgment seat of Christ, and our works will be judged. And if we are found faithful, then we will receive a crown from Him. Not so we can wear it around heaven, so that we can cast it back at His feet, because it is He who was worthy of it. When we get to heaven, we will not be able to labor for Him to please Him in this manner. All labor is done while in the earthly tabernacle. So I have to understand as a Christian how I serve Him. I do it now because I want to please Him now. But if I serve Him to please Him now, it's going to please Him later. And there's going to be evidence of that when we're in His presence. This morning I want to preach on this subject: serving in the light of mercy. Serving in the light of mercy. Let's pray, and then if you'll give me your attention this morning, we'll see what the Lord has for us. Father, I come to You this morning grateful for Your church, grateful for Your word, grateful for Your Son. And Father, I pray that while we've already been blessed by the fellowship, the singing, and the special presentations, Father, may the word of God speak to our hearts. May the Spirit of God work in our hearts. And Father, may we follow His leading. May we be challenged in ways this morning to do more for Your Son. If there's one unsaved this morning, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, or I'll go ahead and read Romans chapter 12 in verse number 1, which says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we are reminded, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." In Romans 12:1, if you haven't found it, just look at me. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." These two truths are important because they tie together. They build on each other. They're important for us to understand service in the light of mercy. It's by the mercies of God that we present ourselves a living sacrifice. See, there are two truths in the Christian life that must always be put together, must always be tied together in our minds. And one of those truths, first of all, is we're saved by mercy. Just a moment ago, I had you raise your hand if you knew you were saved on your way to heaven. If you raised your hand and you're truly saved this morning, you know it's because of God's mercy, not because you earned it. If you think you're saved because you're a church member, you're not. If you think you're saved because you're good enough, you're not. I'm not trying to be unkind, but Jesus Himself said there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Him. But if we're saved this morning, we all have that in common, no matter when we got saved, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter the circumstances that were surrounding when we got saved, we're all saved by the mercy of God. Because the truth of the matter is, you cannot be saved unless you may formulate it a different way than I'm about to say it, but you know that you're a sinner on your way to hell, and you deserve punishment because you are a sinner. We do not get what we deserve through salvation. That's God's mercy. It's not by our works. It's not by our effort. It's not passed down from generation to generation. The book of Titus chapter 3 verse 5 reminds us, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." But the second truth, first being we are saved by His mercy, the second truth, while we rejoice in that first truth, while if there wasn't that first truth, the second truth really wouldn't matter. But we've established the first truth, that we are beneficiaries of the mercy of God through our salvation. But because of that, we must also acknowledge and embrace the second truth, which is we will be evaluated for how we lived after we were saved. Now, let me just say something right here. You're not going to be evaluated for the sins that you committed because they are washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are going to be evaluated by the way we lived after we were saved. See, there's a danger. I'm saved by the mercy of God. I'm saved by the grace of God. I couldn't do anything to get it. I can't do anything to lose it. That's true. But there is going to be an accounting in eternity, in heaven, of what we did with the life God gave us. That's what the scripture's talking about in 2 Corinthians 5. If what I do in this earthly tabernacle, what I do down here, that labor here, is to please Him in this life, but it's also going to be acknowledged to please Him in that next life. This is a truth that cannot be ignored. The judgment seat of Christ is not about whether you're saved. That's been settled. That was settled at the cross. The judgment seat of Christ is not about condemnation. There will be no condemnation there. This is about evaluation. This is about what we did with the mercy we received. Again, let me see your hand. How many of you are saved this morning? You received mercy. The judgment seat of Christ is going to determine what you did with that mercy. You didn't have to do anything to get it, but just receive it. So we're going to be held accountable for it. What did you do with it? Did you just rest on it? Or did you take advantage of what God has given you? This is where many Christians struggle. Some hear about serving on a day like this, an Involvement Sunday, and there's opportunities to serve, and you say, well, that's just pressure. Pastor's pressuring me. No, I want you one day to be able to stand before God and say, I did something with the mercy you bestowed upon me. I did something with the life that you've given me. It's not pressure to serve the one who died for you. Others hear about mercy, the other side of that coin, if I can put it that way, and they become very passive. It doesn't matter. I'm saved. I couldn't do anything to be saved. I don't have to do anything after I'm saved. Well, that's not the correct mentality to have. Hey, we can't trade one for the other. The Bible, as we know, never separates these two. Meaning, mercy is not meant to make you an inactive Christian. Mercy is never intended for you to sit and just rest on mercy. Rest on what God has done. Mercy is meant to move you into service. Mercy does not just save us, it commissions us. It sends us, meaning that everyone who could be saved by the mercy of God, who has been saved by the mercy of God, by that same mercy, we can serve Him. We can do for Him. Some of you may be visiting this morning. You may be newer in the church, and you see some of those who got recognized or highlighted this morning. You can say, well, I don't look like nothing like them. That might be a blessing in some cases. Well, I couldn't do what they did. God may not ask you to do what they've done. The whole point is, because we've received mercy, we're able to do something in this life. Think about how good God is. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve His mercy. We deserve to be paying for our sins in hell. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus came, He died for your sins, He died for my sins. And all we had to do was say, thank you for your grace and receive that mercy in the form of the substitutionary death, the substitutionary sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness of sins. Wonderful mercy. Then God is so merciful. He says, while you're in that earthly tabernacle waiting to be here with me, I'm going to let you labor for me so that you can never buy salvation. You can never buy forgiveness. You can never buy access. But I'm going to grant you enough mercy and offer you salvation. I'm going to grant you mercy that while you're waiting to be with me, you can labor to please me. And then when you get in eternity, we're all in eternity, there'll be acknowledgement of that labor. It's not meant for us to get lazy. It's meant so that we might serve Him. Let me give you several things to think on this morning. Number one, mercy is the foundation of all true service. Mercy is the foundation of all true service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which we read just a moment ago, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, He's coming with God's mercy to implore something from the believer. Paul does not begin with, it is your duty to serve. He doesn't begin with that. He begins with God's mercy. He reminds the believer that it's because God's merciful that you ought to offer your body a living sacrifice. You don't have to do it because it's demanded of you. Matter of fact, our Lord never demands anybody to trust Him. He doesn't demand anybody to be saved. It is by your free will that you trust Christ as your Savior. It's by your free will you say, I'm not going to depend on my goodness anymore. I'm going to depend on what Jesus did because I'm not good enough. It's by your free will you can say, I'm not depending on religious exercise anymore or a member of some denomination. I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to say, I'm going to depend on what Jesus did, the death, the burial, the resurrection as the perfect, infallible Son of God. Only He could do that. I'm going to believe on that. That when you receive that mercy, that is enough for us to say, I was going to hell, now I'm going to heaven. He can have my life. He can do with me as I please. So Paul implores the believer, because of the mercy, because you've received His mercy, offer yourself as service. See, we serve because of what God has done for us. I've heard Christians say sometimes, it comes from a complaining spirit, because life is not the way they want it to be at that moment, and we could all say none of our lives have always been like we want to be at every single moment. But they'll say something to the effect of, oh, I didn't sign up for this, or it's unfair. And we just have to be reminded that because of the mercy of God, whatever comes after that pales in comparison to what God has done for us. That's service. See, without mercy, service is obligation. Without mercy, service is pressure. Without mercy, service is performance. See, with mercy, though, our service is gratitude. Those that I recognize and many others, they serve because they want to. I don't have to wonder where they are when Sunday rolls around. I see Brother Willie sitting back there. If y'all came to church and he wasn't sitting in his post, y'all be like, did the rapture take place? What am I still doing here? I've never once asked or wondered, I wonder if he's going to be there at his post. Because he's not doing it for me. He's not even doing it for you. He's doing it because of mercy. And there needs to be somebody here to open this door. Now, the problem is sometimes we get so full of ourselves, I'm overqualified to open a door. If you're overqualified to open a door, you're not qualified to open a door. Even our Lord was a servant, the greatest servant. You get the point I'm making. We serve as gratitude. Our service becomes part of worship. The devil's done a good job of changing worship into something it's not. Worship is not a second-rate rock band where you can all get worked up and say, we worshiped. That's not worship. Worship is in the quiet time when you're with your God. Worship as we sing hymns unto Him and praise unto Him. Worship is what we're doing now. We're taking time to hear from Him and let Him speak to us. Worship is when the offering plate passes by. Worship is when we get blessed, when we hear some special music. Worship is service. If you got up early to get on that bus, that's part of worship. If you got up early to be in your Sunday school class, that's part of worship. Mom and dad, you got those little children ready early to get them to Sunday school. It's like, my goodness, it seems like Sunday's getting earlier and earlier. You know what you're doing? You're performing worship. That's part of worship. It's our service. And where does that come from? Because we've received mercy. It's the foundation of all true service. Is that mercy. This will help, especially sometimes young people. It's like, well, I just don't know if that's what I want to do with my life or want to do this. Think about the mercy of God. Think about the opportunity that you got a head start on life because you got saved when you were young. Your mom and dad got you in church when you were young. And now you got your whole life to be laying up over there. You got your whole life to be pleasing the one who you received mercy from. And think about what a head start you can have, because it's like, you know, we have so much information at our fingertips now. And this is good counsel and good advice if you can do it. If you can put away, if you start in your 20s, put away so much money a month, then by the time you retire, you'll have all this money. That's true. The problem is we ain't making that much and we got 17 kids running around the house. You know, that's the problem. I'm just testifying this morning, but we look at that and we say that's good advice. I've given that advice. Find something to put away. If you can't, you can't. But we'll look at that in this realm so we can have a retirement. But God Himself tells us that there's treasures you can lay up there that nothing could touch. One day there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ up there, and there's a record up there. Why would you not want to get an early start now? Why would you not want to start now? And what do these investors tell you? Well, you let all those years go by. Start today. Start today. It's the same thing, but with greater consequences and greater benefits to invest to please Him so that when this earthly tabernacle dissolves, what I've done here on earth doesn't just dissolve with it. It has been pleasing Him while I'm doing it, but it's going to please Him for all of eternity. Number two, mercy transforms service from duty to devotion. Mercy transforms service from duty to devotion. Now, I'm a firm believer, and there's some things you just do because you're supposed to do it. Well, I don't feel like it. Too bad. Do it anyway. He's worthy. People are depending on you. I believe in that. But Romans 12, 1, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, a sacrifice of the Old Testament was something given completely to God. Paul says our lives are to be that kind of an offering. It's given. It's not taken from you. To put it in terms we might understand, we took an offering a few minutes ago. There's offering plates for a pastor in front of you, and it was up to you whether you put something in or not. Hopefully you didn't take anything out. But it was up to you. I mean, you didn't get, nobody stopped you in the foyer and said, you've got to give something before you go in there. You had to decide whether or not you were going to do it. The ushers, they didn't have a weapon out as they were passing the offering plates down. You do what you want to do, but I would recommend that you give something. None of that happened. You on your, if you put something in there this morning, it's between you and God, and you said, this is what, you might have been saying, I don't want to do it, but He's commanded me to do it. Okay, you fulfill that command. But you might have been excited about it. I didn't hear any cheering or clapping when the offering plate went by, but you might have been inside. You freely did it. The same thing, that's what Paul's talking about. That sacrifice, nobody's coming to you figuratively with a gun to your head and saying, you're doing this for God. You're saying, let me give myself. It wasn't a partial sacrifice. How do we get to that place? So, and I used that illustration just a moment ago, and some of you are like, you're like, I'm sincere, Pastor, I'm just not there. That's okay. That doesn't mean you're a failure necessarily, but it ought to be a point where you stop and say, if that's where I am, how do I get from here to what Pastor's talking about? How do I get from here to what Paul is imploring us in that verse of Scripture? Well, may I ask you to redirect all your logic, redirect all your reasons, redirect all your excuses through the prism of mercy, through the thought process of mercy. See, when you begin to understand mercy, you stop asking, what do I have to do? And it's, what can I give? See, serving God is not losing your life. It's offering, well, if I was going to serve in that capacity, I'd lose some time on Sunday afternoon. You're not losing it, you're getting it. Well, I'd miss some time on this, during the week, I'd have to do this. You're not losing your life, you're offering it. Well, I wasted all this time, and after all this time, this person, and I invested in, they just left. Well, that's, I hate that, and certainly as a pastor, I understand that. I don't like it. But my time was not wasted. Well, I did it for them. I did it for him more than I did it for them. That's what mercy is. Mercy is, this is the least I can do. It's the least I can offer. Well, the one who understands mercy doesn't serve out of fear. He serves out of love. You know, there are consequences to turning your back on God. But I'm so thankful that I got to a place, and I hope my heart stays here, I got to a place where that's not my motivation. My motivation is not fear of what might happen if I leave God. My motivation is I love Him. I want to show some sort of gratitude. Do what I can. Some of you will laugh at me, and some of you will think I'm an old man, but as the older I get, I start looking at that calendar, I start looking, it's like, I only have so much time, not necessarily to put in my retirement account, but I have so much time to lay up treasures in heaven. I only have so much time, and because of His mercy and His grace, I don't want to show up before the one who is nailed to that cross for me. Oh, I don't want to be before Him. I'll be thankful. We're all going to feel unworthy no matter what you do for Him. But you get the point I'm making this morning. I want to have something to say. I use my life to try and please you with all of my frailties, with all of my inhumanity, with all my inconsistencies, in my sin nature, all of those things. And I'm certain I didn't have always the right attitude when I did it, but I wanted to use what I had in that earthly tabernacle to please you, to say, thank God for your mercy. I want you to be pleased with me in some form or fashion. And so that for all of eternity, there's that reminder of service for Him. Number three, mercy determines the spirit in which we serve. Don't miss this, please. Two people can do the same thing for God, and one will receive a reward while the other does not. Because mercy is going to help us determine the spirit in which we do serve. Let me say that again so we can be thinking about this. Two people can do the exact same thing for God. One will receive a reward for it while the other does not. You may say, why? Is it because of what their last name is? Is it because of how many generations were saved? No. Because God does not only evaluate what we do, He evaluates how and why we do it. 1 Corinthians 3:13, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. See, service without mercy in the heart becomes mechanical. Becomes mechanical. Now, this does not contradict good habits, spiritual discipline, decisions that we made. This is what we're doing. This is the way we're living. But if we're not careful, we'll just begin doing things because we have to do it. And we do that, it becomes cold to us. When that happens, when you're just serving because of serving and not because of the mercy of God, that's when you become critical. Maybe there was somebody this morning that said, well, I've been doing that same thing longer than they've done it, or better than they've done it. Now let me ask you a question. If those thoughts enter your mind, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? And I can apply this to the pastor as well. I'm not just picking on you. There are times when the Lord gives me a sermon and I'm just like, oh man, this is good, good, good. And I'm like, I mean, when I'm done preaching this, the altars are going to be full. I picture this like scoring, this sermon is so good. I picture it like what scoring the winning touchdown. They're going to put me up on their shoulders. They're going to carry me out. I mean, there's going to be a line out the door. We assign my on the way out, you got to sign our Bible again. And that's the very time half the congregation's not is asleep. The other half didn't show up that day. Everything, you know what I have to do? I'm not doing it for you. It will benefit you, but I'm doing it for him. Because ultimately, it's going to come down to, am I preaching, am I doing this to make you happy or make him happy? Because let's be honest, sometimes what he wants me to tell you isn't making anybody happy. There are people, there are times the Lord burdens my heart and says, this is for that person. I know it is. If you don't understand that God does that, let me tell you this morning, God does that. He uses his under-shepherd. He uses the pastor. He uses that man of God, and he will impress because your pastor prays for you. He takes those requests to God, and sometimes God sends that answer. And there are times like, I can't wait to preach this message, and I'm like, where are they? I have to just deliver what God has given, and I'll stand and give an account of that. But I don't ever want to become cold, mechanical. I want to be the kind of preacher and pastor that does it because I understand the mercy of God in my own life. But see, when we're doing what we're doing because of mercy, we're humble, we're patient, we're compassionate. Because truth of the matter is, we're all unworthy. I did not recognize this morning one worthy person. So I thought you said you loved your church, Pastor. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. But you know what we've got? We've got a group of people by the mercy of God and the grace of God that are saved by His grace, saved through faith, and we get to serve together. And I understand that I'm a recipient of His mercy, so guess what I get to do? I get to serve Him. I get to do something to show Him that I love Him. See, we got to remember that we're forgiven, we're restored. God gives us not one chance, not two chances, not three, four, five. God is a forgiving God. He's a long-suffering God. Aren't you thankful for that? Number four out of five. Mercy will be reflected at the judgment seat. I lay all that as a foundation that gets us back to our text in 2 Corinthians. That everyone may receive the things done in his body. The Bible is teaching us every believer will stand before Christ, not to be condemned, because our salvation, just to remind us, has taken care of that. If you're saved this morning, you will never give an account of your sins. You're not going to be stopped at the gate of heaven and all your sins be read out. No, they're, as far as God is concerned, they don't exist. As far as God is concerned, when He looks at your record, He sees perfection. So how is that? Because the record of Christ has been applied to your account, and He is perfection. Your sins are as far as the removed as the east is from the west. Think about that for a few moments. But it is to be evaluated. In 1 Corinthians 3, I referenced it just a few moments ago, it's described this way. Some works are described as gold, silver, precious stones. That sounds pretty good. So the works we do in heaven, they're going to be transformed. Tomorrow morning, Lord willing, I'm flying to another country. And thankfully, the American dollar is taken in most places, but there will be an opportunity for me at the airport to take some of American money and get it changed into the local money. You think about what you get to do for God. And you serve in that nursery. You clean when nobody's looking. You send that encouraging text. You do that good work. It's not all things that are seen. You pray that prayer. You hold that door. You remember to call that person who wasn't. You cook a meal for somebody who's just got out of the hospital. All of these things we're involved in as a church. If you think of it that way, if you're doing it for Him, and because you say, well, Pastor, I'm not worthy to sing in the choir. Well, none of us are. But you say, I can make a meal, or I can help somebody out in the parking lot, or I can at least pass an offering plate, or I can clean when nobody else is around. I can do things like that. Excuse me, whatever it is. Think of it this way, that work for Him is being exchanged. The Bible says, gold, silver, precious stones. See, but I was just man in a post. And one day you're going to stand before God and there's going to be some gold, silver, precious stones. But 1 Corinthians 3 also says there's also wood, hay, and stubble. What is that? Those are works that are done for ourselves. Pastor, I'll serve if I get acknowledged for it. I'll serve if I get the right, if I get to decide how I serve. I mean, I've seen this through the years, and the heart is revealed pretty quickly. Well, I just want to get involved. I don't understand why I'm getting involved. Well, here's some opportunities to get involved. This is what we need as a church. Well, that's not how I want to serve. Well, I'm sorry, where you feel like you're qualified to serve, those positions might be filled. But anybody who says, okay, you know, this Sunday school class is filled, I have a teacher there, but if you want to, I'll get you a room, and if you want to fill it up yourself, well, no, that's not what I do. I just expound the Word of God. You know what that is? That's wood, hay, and stubble. This should challenge us, convict us, but also encourage us. Because there's some of you sitting here, you don't think anything you do for God counts. And I'm here to tell you it absolutely counts. Absolutely counts. And this ought to keep our egos in check. This ought to keep our pride in check. Because all any of us deserve is to pay for our sin debt in hell. But by His mercy, which we have received, we have an opportunity to serve Him. I've got to hasten. I'm out of time. I'll go ahead and get to verse point five. Mercy gives us confidence and not fear about that day. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't done it perfectly, and I just leave it at that. And it pretty much sums it up. But I've been serving the Lord for most of my life. I'm thankful for that opportunity. But even having been able to say that, there is a little bit of sense of fear. Did I do everything with the right motive? Did I do everything with the right spirit? Well, even now, I have to check my ego, because I'm not doing it for man's applause. Am I making sense to you? But it ought to bring us It brings us accountability. It brings us purpose. Some of you are wondering what God's purpose is for you. And we've been confused by that, by some of the things that have been put out in the religious world that say, this is your purpose, this is your purpose. And amazingly, when you line them up with the Bible, all they do is confuse you. You and I have one purpose, and it's to bring honor and glory to Him. Now, there are ways that God has designed for you to bring for in your life, and ways that mine might be different, and then there's some that are all the same. But this ought to be some purpose for us. Because let me remind you, the same mercy that saves you is the same mercy that gives you the opportunity to serve. This judgment seat of Christ, you're not standing there to answer for your sins. If you're saved, I've reminded this over and over, you don't have to. You'll never answer for those sins. They're paid for at the cross. You are there to give an accounting of what you did of your stewardship with that mercy. Did you waste it? Did you bury it? Did you use it? Let me give you some more encouragement before we conclude. Even your smallest act of mercy matters. A kind word. You know, this world is so mean and cruel. We undervalue what just being polite will do for somebody. Just saying thank you, what that will do for somebody. Those, they say, well, that's just not my nature. Well, aren't you thankful that you got the Spirit of God that lives within you? That if we'll yield to Him, well, that helping hand, that quiet act of service that nobody else sees, God sees all of it. Might I remind us, once again, we're not saved by our service, but we're saved unto service. I've already had you raise your hand two or three times, but let's do it one more time. How many of you are saved this morning? It's good to see that. It's good to do that. But mercy didn't just save you from your sins. That same mercy has given you a purpose today. And that purpose is serving. That purpose is being involved in the work of God. One day we're all going to stand before that one who showed us mercy. And He's not going to ask any of us, well, were you perfect? He knows the answer to that. He's not going to ask, how many times did you fall? He knows the answer to that. The question is going to be somewhere along. He may not ask the question, but the accounting we're going to have to do is, what did you do with what I gave you? If you received mercy as a child, what did you do with that life? If you received mercy as an adult or in your middle age, what did you do from that point on with that mercy? That's what we're going to give an account for. This morning, I want us to think about that. If you're here and you haven't received that mercy, you know of it, but you don't know exactly what I'm talking about because you've never put your faith and trust in Christ. You can know that today. Christian, this morning, maybe we ought to ask, have we gotten calloused in our service, cold in our service? Maybe some of you this morning, it's just the fact that you feel like you want to do something. You say, I'm just not worthy to do. Hopefully this helps us all. None of us are worthy. But we all can get involved in helping others, pleasing God now in this earthly tabernacle. So it will please Him now, but it's going to please Him in eternity. May we yield ourselves. May we offer ourselves. Let's do business with